Please turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 6, and we're just going to concentrate on a few verses here in Genesis chapter 6 this evening. We read right in verse 5 and following, "The Lord saw how man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them.' But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I wonder, are you ready for Christmas? This is the second Sunday of Advent, and it's a fair question to ask. Are you ready for Christmas? I know it's an exciting time, particularly for younger children and for families, and it can be an exciting time for many people. I think as you get older, you understand that there is much joy in giving than receiving. And I'm not sure what age I was when I realised that there was as much joy in giving than receiving, probably about 50. but I think as you grow older and as you mature as individuals, and particularly as Christians, you suddenly realise that actually when people start to think of Christmas and celebrate Christmas, and I know certainly in under normal circumstances, the shops, they're usually bringing in the Christmas stock almost as soon as the children go back to school after the summer holidays. And there's a big build-up, isn't it? A big build-up. And many of my friends who are not Christians, they usually say we have the build-up from late August, early September, and then when the 25th of December finally arrives, it's just a sheer anti-climax. And they feel left empty and devoid of any joy or happiness, and that's because they have sadly no true and proper and real understanding of where joy comes from. You see, tonight, if you're a believer, the source of your joy is found in God. The source of my joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, since the fall of man, and we saw a couple of Sunday mornings ago, that God spoke clearly and made a promise that because the devil had tempted Adam and Eve, and because in their rebelliousness they fell and they disobeyed God, God then said, "Well, cursed to the devil, cursed are you, and there will be conflict between you and the woman." And so immediately, as a result of Adam and Eve's sin and rebellion towards God, the world in which God had created and the relationship that first man and his wife enjoyed with God was completely ruined. That's what sin does. And as a result of their sin, death becomes a reality. And so there's conflict. And as we go through the early chapters of Genesis, we start to see, through the different generations, we start to see that actually man no longer needs the subtle advances of the serpent. That man now very naturally causes himself and others total devastation. That's what sin does. It causes devastation. And the final and the ultimate consequence of rebellion towards God is death. And the ultimate consequence of rebellion towards God is not just physical death, but it's spiritual death. And that's why, as Christians, we do celebrate Christmas. And do you remember in that promise, we described it, as many theologians describe Genesis 3:15, as the first gospel. that God promised, and he made that prophecy in the garden, that actually a seed of the woman would come. A child would be born, and this child would crush the devil's head, and the devil would bruise his heel. And that's a prophecy, and that's a promise from God concerning his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, bear with me, because I know we're approaching Christmas, and tonight we're going to think of Noah. But bear with me, because this is what I find intriguing. That they knew, despite their rebelliousness, they knew at once that they had grieved God. They knew at once that there was total devastation. They became ashamed. Their consciences were filled with guilt. Their living friendship with God and fellowship with God had been cut off. Their sin now separates them from a vibrant, living relationship with God, their Maker. And they become acutely aware, even in those first moments, when man tries to hide his shame, when they run and hide from God. But they know that God has promised that there's a hope. That even in the darkness and the pain and the despair and the sinfulness and the rebellion of Eden, but there's hope. Hence, we heard that lovely hymn tonight, there is a hope. And I want to say this tonight, that in the midst of the despair of a pandemic, in the midst of the despair of the darkness and the utter lawlessness and the evil and sinful acts that take place in our world tonight, in the midst of man's alienation from God, there is hope. And I'll tell you why there's hope. Because Christ came into the world, and because he came, a fulfillment of God's promise, a fulfillment of Scripture, a fulfillment of all that the prophets spoke about and wrote about, he brought hope to this world. And he still brings hope to this world. But this is the point, that as then mankind is fruitful and multiplies, bear in mind that they have the promise of God of a child to be born of a woman who would crush Satan's head. Then as time evolves, every boy that's born, the question would be, is this the one? Is this the one? Is he the one that's going to bring hope? Is he the one who's going to be bruised? Is he the one who is going to crush Satan? Is he the one that God promised? And when we come to Noah, it's interesting, isn't it? That so we have it in Genesis there. We have the account of his birth. And we have the account of him being named. Now, the name Noah in the Hebrew, it literally means rest. And through Noah, we could say that God is bringing rest to a world that's restless. And in those verses I read to you, and God repented. He was grieved. This is Genesis 6 and verse 7. He was grieved that he had made man. But there was one born called Noah, whose name means rest. And he was born to a world that's restless. And this man, Noah, we read, was righteous. And he was a man who found favour in the eyes of the Lord. Hence the reading that I asked Phil to share and to read for us. Because we have to understand, isn't it? How was Noah seen and declared by God to be righteous? How is anyone, prior to Calvary, how are they declared to be righteous by a holy God? I remember many years ago on summer camp up in North Wales with the Evangelical Movement of Wales. And I remember on a Thursday night we'd have a question box. And I remember one, the campers saying, well, you know, we understand the gospel. They at least understood it in their head. And we understand the gospel that we need to place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ because he died for us and he rose again for us. And through his resurrection, we can be justified. But how is it that the saints in the Old Testament, how is it someone like Noah can be described as being righteous? Because you've just told us, Andy, and I've just told you in the last few weeks, that as a result of Adam and Eve's rebellion and sinfulness, that all are made sinners. We've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. So how is it possible? Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith. And just in case you're a little bit like me, sometimes slow on the uptake, by faith. By faith. By faith. And and as you get through that passage, you suddenly realise it's by faith. And what is faith? Well, let's keep it simple tonight. It's literally accepting and responding to the very word of God. God has said it. He's spoken it. He's recorded it. He does it. And so all the Old Testament prophecies pointed, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? Because they knew that what God said, that he stood by. And so by faith, how are we declared righteous in the sight of a holy God tonight? Here we have it. Repentance. Godly sorrow. That was evident, surely, in the lives of all these Old Testament saints. Godly sorrow. And by faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when God would speak of one who would come in the future, it was with the eye of faith they saw it. It's with the eye of faith they believed it. And it's with the heart of faith that they trusted in it. Were they ready for Christmas? In a sense, by faith they were. Because they believed, even though they wouldn't live to see it, they believed that God had prepared for them a Saviour. Well, when did God prepare this Saviour? As a response to man's sin? No. You don't keep, you know, God isn't a God that you can catch out. It wasn't like, oh my goodness, I didn't expect them to behave like that. No. The Bible says that our God, before time began, in past eternity, he had made a plan. And that plan involved you and me. Us. And ever in the world tonight. And he's provided a way. Now, these Old Testament saints, they look forward. In a sense, we look back. But with the beauty of the incarnation, God becoming a man, that's what incarnation means. Emmanuel, it's a great name for a church, isn't it? When God confirmed his call for us to come here, I said to Viv, my goodness, it is like a dream come true to be a pastor of a church called Emmanuel. I can't wait for Christmas. God with us. that God resides in the midst of his people. And he lives in you and he lives in me if you're a Christian tonight. I will never leave, we saw this morning. I'll never leave you or forsake you. This great God entered time. He understands the limitations. He understands the sinfulness and the fallenness of mankind. Yet he was without sin. He knows your cares and your anxieties. He knows the pain, the sorrow. He understands what Pam and all that her family are going through tonight. He understands. We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands. He knows. He cares. No one has ever cared for me quite like Jesus. When Noah was born, Noah grew up, and by faith, he's declared righteous. He finds grace and favor in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Lord. And then God commands him to build an ark. That God says, because we've been looking at this, haven't we? God who speaks. He says to Noah, I'm grieved at the wickedness that prevails in the land. And so I'm going to bring judgment. But in the midst of the judgment, we're exposed to a God of grace. And those who believe God, it was accredited to them as righteousness. Do you see that? And so when the floods came, when the judgment of God came upon this world, Noah and his family were saved. Why? Because God had provided the means for salvation. Now, you may not be ready for Christmas, but just let's park Christmas to one side. Because with the wonder of the incarnation, we not just look back, but we also, as Christians, look forward. This Lord Jesus Christ, who came, born of a virgin, in the fullness of time, this Lord Jesus, God in flesh, full of grace and truth, this Lord Jesus, who spoke, who ministered, who healed, who preached, who touched, who died, who rose again, who ascended, this Lord Jesus, who lives tonight. We have a man in the glory who ever lives to make intercession for us, his people. But this same Lord Jesus, do you remember what the angel said to the disciples as he ascended? Why do you stand there gazing into heaven? This Lord Jesus will return in like manner, in the same way, as you've seen him go. So this is the point. If you're not ready for Christmas, don't worry about that for a moment. But look into your heart and before God tonight, ask yourself this question. Am I going to respond to God's word in a way that Noah responded? By faith, he built an ark. God spoke and he responded. And God calls all men and women everywhere to repent. That's what he commands us to do. And he says clearly to us, listen, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so the wonder of the incarnation is that thank God he came. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. But at the same point, we look forward. This Lord Jesus, who came 2,000 years ago, lived, died, rose again, ascended, is coming again. And he's coming to bring judgment upon the nations. And Scripture says that he will judge justly, but he will judge the nations with equity. Just as God said, I will flood the earth. I will bring judgment upon the earth. Can you imagine the conversation when Noah and his sons, they started building the ark? Noah, yes, what are you doing? I'm building this structure because God has told me to. He's given me the plans, you know, because God plans everything. He's not a haphazard God. Every detail is mapped out. Every detail is considered. Every detail is thought. So I'm building this, I think God called it an ark. What's an ark? I don't really know. I've not built one before. But let me tell you, I know this. It's going to provide safety. It's going to provide protection. He knew that. Can you imagine the conversation in the community, in the local town, in the local village, in the marketplace, wherever? He's lost his marbles. There will be no flood. God won't judge the earth. How unreasonable would that be? A God that would judge the earth. But in holy fear, and by faith, we read in Hebrews 11, that he continues to respond by faith to God's word. You're a believer tonight. God calls you to continue to quietly and simply respond to his word by faith. By faith. Simply trusting every day. Even though it's a stormy way. Even in those moments when my faith is small. Trusting Jesus. That is all. Those who persevere, those who endure to the end, shall be saved. Now, when judgment came, and it did. By the way, this is the incredible thing, isn't it? If you're feeling old tonight, when judgment came in the form of the flood, Noah was 600 years old. I expect he knew happy birthday quite well by then. Imagine trying to blow out 600 candles. You'd be there all day. 600 years old. Judgment came. But God provided an ark. And so when they went in and God shut the door, they were secure, they were safe, they were saved. And you say, well, that's very good. You used to listen to this story in Sunday school. Didn't like the bit when everyone drowned, but put me off swimming lessons for a while. But don't you see? Judgment's coming. It's impending judgment upon this world. And only those who are in the ark of God will be saved. And he's not calling us to go and build a boat or a cruise ship. He's asking us to run and find refuge in his son who was born 2,000 years ago. The one that the prophet Micah said would be born in humble means in Bethlehem, house of bread. Isn't it interesting that the bread of life will be born in the house of bread? The ark is a picture of Christ. Because in Christ alone, we can find security, not just for time, but for eternity. Salvation's not found in any other person, by any other means, apart from repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. It may be morning, it may be noon, It may be evening, it may be soon, but he's coming again. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready to face God? Are you ready for when Christ shall return? Are you ready? Prepare to meet your God. And you might say, well, okay, Andy, I'm saved. I've been saved for many years. I'm a Christian. I'm all right, Jack. Really? What about your loved ones? What about your unconverted family members? What about your friends? What about your work colleagues? What about your neighbours? When you go to work tomorrow and you look into their eyes and you see the whites of their eyes, do you realise that people who die without Christ go to hell? Where the judgment and wrath and fury and fire of God remains on them forever. This is not just some sentimental story. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, laid in a manger. Let's sing a lullaby. Mary gets over the fright of it all. Joseph comes to terms that it's God's doing. The shepherds are just ecstatic because they've got there before everyone else. And the wise men eventually get there when the child's probably at least 12 months old. And they followed a star. They encountered Herod. And prophecy and scripture was fulfilled that he tried to wipe out, as many before him tried to wipe out the line and lineage of David, to prevent the seed of the woman coming and being born and fulfilling God's word and prophecy and providing hope to people like you and me in Newport tonight. And God provided not a boat, not an ark. He provided his only son. He gave, we sometimes sing with the children, he gave the best thing that he had to save us, his son Jesus, crucified, who took all the blame of all the wrong things I have done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much. It's the gospel, isn't it? When Noah and his family entered the ark, there was only one way into the ark. Through the door. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. As a young boy, I used to sing this little chorus, one door and only one. And yet its sides are two, inside, outside. Which side are you? We're either tonight in Christ or outside of Christ. We're either longing with a sense of expectation, eagerly awaiting his second coming. Verse 28, I think it is, in Hebrews 9, it says that when he comes the second time, he doesn't come to atone for sin. He's already done that. He comes to judge. He comes to bring righteous judgment upon all the earth. And so when I think of this story of Noah, I can't help but be taken, transported in my mind and in my heart and in my gaze and in my wonder to the cross. Because that was the point of Bethlehem. That was the point of the manger. That was the point of the decree that Caesar Augustus issued. That was the point of all these things, that God in his sovereignty brought it about. So in the fullness of time, our great God became our Saviour. And all God's fullness dwelt in him. And so I ask you tonight, not are you ready for Christmas, but are you ready to face this great God? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Is your heart prepared for when Jesus returns or when he calls? We might never be around when there's a trumpet blast and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We may already be in heaven. So are you ready for heaven? Are you ready to meet God? Because only those who are found in Christ will end up in heaven. Only those who are found in Christ can be sure of heaven, can be sure of a mansion prepared for them in the glory. But those who reject Christ, if you reject Christ in your heart tonight, you are condemned already. Wonderful birth. To a manger he came. Dwelt in the likeness of man to proclaim God's boundless love for a world sick with sin. Coming eternal salvation to bring. Wonderful name he bears. Wonderful crown he wears. Glory and honor are his on the throne. Jesus is King of Kings. With his praise, heaven rings. Let the earth echo. He's worthy. He's worthy alone. That's the true joy of Christmas. That's the true joy of heaven coming down. And glory filling my soul. That's what excites me. Not the socks or the pants or the gadgets that I get from long lost aunts I've not seen in a decade. Most of them have died now. I had an auntie Barbara who lived in Cheshire. In Frodsham, a little village in Cheshire. And she always sent us odd and peculiar gifts. And it was a family joke that we were never quite sure what Auntie Barbara would send us. And I know this sounds very ungrateful, but I'm the youngest of three boys. And when we were little, you know, we used to look at it and think, what on earth do I want? What do I need this for? You see, a gift has to be meaningful. It has to be appropriate, surely. I mean, if you think of giving me a gift this Christmas, then that's okay. All gifts are gratefully accepted. But I don't need a hairdryer. I don't need a comb set. Not really appropriate, is it? And I remember on one occasion, Auntie Barbara sent us this card and she said, you've got a goat for Christmas. A goat? I don't even like goats. You can't eat goats, but I never saw it. This goat lived somewhere on another continent. A gift has to be appropriate. It has to be personal. It has to be to meet a specific need, surely. And a gift that's given for a specific need that's appropriate and it is given at a huge cost and an immense cost and it's given freely and willingly and with love. Isn't that the sort of gift we want to receive? Sure it is. Our greatest need tonight is that we need someone to forgive us and to wash us from our sin. Our greatest need tonight is that we need someone to come. We can't do it ourselves. Good works won't save you. Church attendance won't save you. Even taking communion or being baptized won't save you. Repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ will save you. And that's why God knew our deepest need. The need that was there from the beginning of the Garden of Eden. That he gave us someone who is able to not only forgive us of our sin, but he's able to reconcile us to God our Father. And he paid the price. And he paid the punishment that you and I deserve. That, friends, is why we celebrate the coming of Christ into this world. That, friends, is why Christmas is precious to the believer. But we not only look back, we look forward. And this same Lord Jesus, who tonight in heaven bears the wounds and the marks and the scars of Calvary, is coming again. But when he comes for the second time, he's not coming as Savior. He's coming to judge. So friend, look into your heart and ask the Lord, oh Lord, help me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Are you ready to meet your God? Noah and his family were ready. Why? Because they responded to the word of God. And they were saved. By faith, they were saved. And friend, if you respond to the very word of God tonight, then you too, by faith, will be saved. And then we can sing from our hearts, there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. He came for you and for me. He came for sinners who are dead in their sin. He came to bring light and life. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. What a salvation. What a hope that's found in Christ alone. Let's remain seated and we listen to there.